Madam Secretary, do we have the chair on the phone? Chair Hunter?
Yes. Okay. I'm calling to order the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, September 6th, 2018. The chair is unfortunately indisposed, but is valiantly participating by phone to ensure that we still have a quorum. And as a result, I'm going to be running the meeting. And of course, we all are hopeful that the chair will have a speedy recovery. The first item on the agenda is correction and approval of the minutes. Mr. Peterson, we have a motion.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I move approval of the minutes for the meeting of August 2nd, 2018, as set forth in agenda document number 18-38-A.
Is there any discussion of the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is draft advisory opinion 2018-11 from Microsoft, which is represented here today by Mr. Barron and Mr. Wang of Wiley-Ryan. If you and your client, if she would like to, are welcome to come to the table. I suspect there may be some questions and discussion. Thank you. Mr. Wensinger, do you have a presentation for us?
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Agenda document 1841A is a draft response to an advisory opinion request submitted by Microsoft. The requester asks whether it may offer a package of enhanced online security services at no additional charge on a nonpartisan basis to its election-sensitive customers, including federal candidates and national party committees. The draft concludes that the provision of such services is permissible and would not result in the making of a prohibited in-kind contribution, because Microsoft would be providing such services based on commercial and not political considerations in the ordinary course of its business and not merely for promotional consideration or to generate goodwill. We received no comments on the request and one on the draft. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Wensinger. I will just apologize to the requester and the public for the delay. It's been an unusual day here, and I did not actually receive a copy of the comment until shortly before the meeting, and wanted a little bit of extra time to actually read it. And I have confirmed with Mr. Barron that he too has received a copy of the comment. So my first question.
Excuse me, Madam Vice Chair. This was actually a late submitted document.
Oh,
so goodness. If we could please.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd be happy to make that motion. I move that the Commission waive the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents so that it may consider an open meeting agenda document number 18-41-A.
Thank you. Any comments? If not, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Barron, do you have any comments on the comment?
Well, yes.
Or on the draft, or both.
Well, first of all, Commissioners, thank you for this opportunity to be here, and thank you for the meeting and for considering this request so quickly. I do want to add to the record here that I'm accompanied by Ms. Ginny Badanes, B-A-D-A-N-E-S, who is with the Cybersecurity and Democracy Project of Microsoft Corporation, and is here with me in case the Commission has any questions about how this program would actually work. Perhaps like me, I'm not all that computer illiterate or cyber secure in my own views, but Ginny is and is available here for any questions on how this would be actually implemented. First, we would like to say that we obviously agree with the conclusion that is represented in draft A, as well as the way in it is represented, because it approves the Microsoft Account Guard program on the basis that it is being, first of all, offered to customers. I mean, these are people who actually use Microsoft products and pay for the product. And we have described them as election-sensitive customers, which does include federal candidates and national party committees. But as our request sets out, we are initially providing these enhanced cybersecurity features to others who are involved in election-related activities, including, I would note, think tanks. And I would say that, you know, as a result, the commenter to this advisory opinion would qualify for Account Guard, as it would also qualify for discounts on the purchase of Office 365 as a 501c3 organization. And I don't know if they use our products, so obviously we hope so. If they do, I just want to make sure they know they would qualify for purchasing it at a discounted rate, as would be the case for all similarly situated tax-exempt organizations. And as we set out in the request, this type of approach in terms of costs and fees for various Microsoft users is extended in other ways and to other large groups of customers, including educators and educational institutions, as well as think tanks. And as we set out in our request, Microsoft's intention is to expand Account Guard even more after initial implementation, starting with the candidates and political parties, as well as the think tanks and election-related vendors. It would go on to encompass potentially, and this is a likely rollout, it would encompass election officials, voting officials, state, secretaries of state. I frankly could conceive if federal government purchasing rules permit that it would extend even to perhaps the Federal Election Commission, which apparently is related and potentially an election-sensitive user of Microsoft products. So the first important element of the conclusion is that this does involve customers, and also that the reason that this is being provided to election-sensitive customers is that it's based on commercial and not political considerations. It is in the ordinary course of Microsoft's business, and it is not merely for promotional consideration or to generate goodwill. And for that reason, I have the impression that the commenter may not have appreciated the fact that this is not something that anybody in politics can obtain coming off the street. You have to have purchased Microsoft product. You have to qualify, and equally important, you have to request to participate in these additional cybersecurity benefits and protections. So I think in some that would be my comment on the comment, is that they don't seem to be actually focused on what is being proposed and how it would be implemented.
Well, since you offered, let me ask your client, how does this work?
The way that a organization becomes enrolled is they go to our website and submit their information. I won't go through every little step, but I just want to make it clear how they become a part of AccountGuard. They request an invitation. We do a vet to make sure they are who they say they are, to make sure that they are an eligible participant, and also to ensure that they're an Office 365 customer, because that's a requirement for the program. At that point, we send them an invitation. They accept. They fill out some additional information, and they become enrolled. From there, we have a series of things that we will do for them that we haven't begun yet, such as education. We will send out emails. We will invite them to webinars. In some cases, they'll be invited to in-person trainings, where we will focus on ensuring that they are aware of basic things like phishing, aware of ways to protect their Office 365 accounts. What they'll also have access to is to invite individual stakeholders who are associated with their organization, and stakeholders is up to them, but we view that as primarily their employees, potentially board members, others who will be affiliated with that organization who might have individual Microsoft accounts. So that's where the Outlook.com and the Hotmail.com accounts come into play. They will be invited to enroll themselves individually if they would like. And they will have the same access to education materials as organizations do. But they're also allowing for us, through their approval, to notify in case that we are able to detect a nation state attack against their account. At that point, they're granting us permission to let the organization know who they're affiliated with that we've detected an attack against their individual account. And then the third feature is that we'll make available to them private previews within our products of security-related features. This is really almost more of us just providing them information and pointing them in the right direction. Private previews are available already, but it's us identifying that this particular preview, for example, an Office 365 security feature that requires their admin account to have two-factor authentication turned on. We can offer that to them. They can enroll in that private preview and then have that feature enabled for their Office 365 account. It's something that already exists, but what we would be doing is sort of making the connection and encouraging them to enroll in those private previews.
So how exactly does that work? You have them with protection. Are they hooked up to your equipment? Is it something you download?
Once they enroll, they've provided us with their domain information, which we use to enhance our monitoring for their accounts. So there's nothing that they do other than enrolling. The education piece is just us pushing out content to them and then potentially accepting invitations to webinars or other security trainings. That's a tougher question to answer as far as how our threat intelligence team does their research. We have a team at Microsoft that focuses on nation state attackers. They're our threat intelligence team. They are already doing this. They're already looking to protect our customers from attacks by nation states, which we identify as the ATP type organizations, the likely suspects that you've heard of. They're already tracking for that. What we're doing is bringing additional information for their investigations by indicating these individuals have opted in, they're likely targets. It also creates a bigger picture of information for them as they're doing their research, and then faster notification if and when we detect that something has occurred on those accounts, because we know exactly who to go to based on the information they've provided to us.
When you have an advertising ploy, and I don't mean in a negative way, there's an advertising feature along with other products or that kind of thing. So in addition, you will be doing this, or how does it work?
I believe what I understood was, is there an advertising feature involved?
Well, I'm just wondering how the system is being used.
How it's going to be.
You say it's for free, but then I get the impression because there's some discussion about making money on it. I just didn't know how that works.
Okay. So advertising is not a revenue model for anything that we're discussing here. The revenue model is that they're already licensed Office 365 customers, which is a productivity suite. It's how they would do their emails, document storage, communications within and with both internally and externally. They are already paying for that service. That is essentially how they're communicating, again, both internally and externally. So that's the fee that they would pay. That's where the, and they're already customers at this point. There's no advertising component to it.
So they don't have to pay extra for this, or just a feature that you advertise is going to create?
Right. In this case, these are enhanced features that we'd be adding to our existing customers in this space.
And some get it and some don't. What do they get?
For those who opt into this program, they get it. Some of these features already exist, and it's really just more of us pointing it out to this particular community who might not have the resources to find these private previews that we have available. A lot of it is us reaching out and educating and connecting them versus offering something new necessarily.
So is it for the anti-hacking device, a device that detects hacking and that kind of thing? I don't know if the other nomenclature is for these other things, but the record system.
So if you see
somebody being hacked, you're more sensitive to that. You're also going to notify them and maybe do corrective action, or how does it work?
Right. So if we detect, we don't, technology is, of course, a piece of the detection we do, but it's really individual investigations of how we're identifying these attacks. Once one has been detected, there is a very thorough process we go through to, we have a notification process essentially that already exists where we will notify our customers if it follows our process appropriately that we've seen these attacks against them. I believe to your question of then what is essentially what, yeah, we would not be offering remediation services ourselves. We recognize that those are costly and there's a lot that goes into that. We would be making recommendations for how they might choose to remediate. And that would be pointing them to a variety of services, Microsoft and non-Microsoft alike. We'll do our best to provide them with pointers without actually going in and doing the remediation or the mitigation after the fact of the attack. That wouldn't, they of course can hire Microsoft to do that. And maybe that's the appropriate choice in a particular case, but we wouldn't be offering that as a service in this case, no.
Well, there was a couple of, you had a chance to read the letter that just came in this afternoon.
I have quickly read it, yes.
Yeah, so did I. Still, I'd like to remember that, because I did notice, and I pointed out to you, two areas that I thought were really interesting to me, in terms of... Is that better?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Two areas that are of interest to me, in terms of assuring that it stays focused and... It's not something that, as you saw, there were three or four different examples of how this thing can move in another direction. That was suggested that it says, consistent with past precedent, the commission should state expressly that a company offering free or discounted services to, quote, maintain and increase market share cannot render the corporate contribution as anything. But then over on, and then it goes to the core example, with cost to CompuServe. And then on the other one, toward the very end last paragraph, if the commission nevertheless adopts an advisory opinion approving Microsoft's request, rather than laboring to justify the provision of such services for commercial purposes, the commission should transparently and forthrightly state that it is doing so to implement FICA's ban on foreign participation in elections in 52 U.S.C. Section 3121, and that the opinion is limited only to services that are necessary and directed to further that ban. So how do we react to those suggestions?
Well, with respect to the suggestion that the commission should implement, allow this by implementing the ban on foreign contributions, I don't think there's any precedent for doing that in FEC opinions or regulations that you could, quote, provide something for free, assuming it's, quote, free, in order to... promote compliance. In fact, the statute itself only contemplates
something like that with respect to legal or accounting services to certain campaigns and political parties in order to ensure compliance with the Campaign Finance Act. So what is being suggested, is, as I understand it, is that you can go ahead and approve this account guard, but only because it promotes compliance with the ban on foreign contributions. With respect to the other section that was referenced here about offering free or discounted services to maintain and increase market share, the reference here, as I understand it, is to the CompuServe advisory opinion. And that's different than what is being suggested here, as we pointed out in our request, in that the CompuServe proposal involved providing candidates something for free altogether. It was not conditioned on the fact that they were already customers and had purchased something, and it was an element in the use of their product. So I think that's not the case here. I think that the advisory opinion can be distinguished on that basis, and we did so with additional citations in our request. I hope that answers your question.
I just mentioned CompuServe because it's part of the sentence in the second matter that I mentioned, but the last one was the suggestion at the very tail end of the letter, the last paragraph.
I'm sorry, sir, I didn't...
The last paragraph of the yellow mark that I gave you. The last paragraph of the letter, a yellow mark, and that was the one that I referred to a little earlier.
Yeah.
Where it said, if the commission, I was just reading that to you. Pardon me if I'm not coming through.
I thought I addressed that first.
Yeah, I think you did too. You said you were referring to the other paragraph.
I don't have any questions. My only comment is that I agree with the conclusion of the opinion. I think it's reasoning is sound. I think that the requester has set forth several bona fide commercial purposes for the account guard program that it's establishing. I think that fits well within the precedents that we have established in past advisory opinions as set forth in the draft. And I think both the panel and the others support that.
For myself, I mean, I did not see the comment until shortly before the meeting, but I do think it fairly points out the backdrop against which all of this is happening, and that is the legitimate concern of the requester about the hacking attempts that we've already seen and the warnings that we've been given by all manner of people from the Dan Coates on down about continued threats. So I was apologies to my colleagues for not circulating this, because I just kind of scribbled down some thoughts at the beginning of the meeting. I would like to suggest that we could add some language to the opinion that just takes cognizance of what you've already put in your request and perhaps repeats some of that language. What I would suggest is in the first place, this is a pretty simple one, to emphasize the point that you made earlier, that this is not just being offered to political committees, and that is in the fact section. But I thought we could add on page 4 of the draft, at line 7, where it says Microsoft may offer the account guard program at no additional charge on a nonpartisan basis to election sensitive customers, including, and I would add, but not limited to, federal candidates and national party committees. Mm-hmm. I believe to be just a true statement of what you've already told us, but would emphasize that point that it's not something that's just an exclusive. Benny to little companies. The other suggestions that I have would be on page 7, and again, with apologies that I don't have this in writing for folks. I would propose to add a sentence on line 8, in between the sentence that ends customers and the one that starts accordingly, and again, this is repeating something that's in the facts section earlier. Microsoft has noted the particular importance of providing account guard at this time, given the public scrutiny regarding foreign attempts to influence U.S. elections. That's language that really is drawn from your request and from the facts section of the opinion.
Would you mind repeating that? Yeah. I was trying to write it down, and I got through about half a second.
Sorry.
Latter half I was a little slow on.
Microsoft has noted the particular importance of providing account guard at this time, given the public scrutiny regarding foreign attempts to influence U.S. elections. And that is actually in part repeating language from the facts section on page 3 in the last bullet point.
Okay.
And I tried to stay very close to the same language there, so it's not to introduce any new new elements for people. The last change that I would suggest is to add to the sentence, the according to sentence on page 7, line 8. So on line 10, after in the ordinary course of business, there would be a comma and delete the and. Mm-hmm. On page 7, line 10, in the middle of the sentence where it says in the ordinary course of business, there would be a comma after business. The and would be deleted. There would be on line 11, a comma after goodwill, because I'm going to propose an additional phrase in that sentence that would read, and because the provision of the account guard program would further the commission's implementation of the ban on foreign participation in elections at 52 U.S.C. section 30121. And I will ask any of my colleagues and the requester for feedback about that, since I, scrolled it down pretty quickly. But it's an attempt to acknowledge the context in which all of this is taking place, and the context in which we are trying to give you an expedited answer, because I think we're all very, very cognizant of the threats that are out there and the need to respond quickly, and for government and private industry to work together to try and do whatever all of us can do to protect our elections.
Can I just one more time? I think we got most of it.
Yep. The last clause would be at the end of the on line 11 after goodwill, instead of a what's there a comma there? Mm-hmm. It's I've scribbled on it, so it's hard for even me to read. But there would be a clause added after goodwill that says, and because the provision of the account guard program would further the commission's implementation of the ban on foreign participation in elections at 52 U.S.C. section 30121.
It will further what?
I'm sorry. Would further the commission's implementation of the ban on foreign participation in elections at 52 U.S.C. section 30121. I think having the narrative makes it a little easier to read, but, you know, it could just as easily say would further the commission's implementation of 52 U.S.C. Section 30121 if anybody has a problem with the way I phrase the narrative.
I like the language. It's nicely and also that's the issue that I raised and I think it raised by the suggestions made that rather than saying it's only for commercial purposes, there's also a room so doing a bigger kind of distribution and actually I think that is important and we can support that.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. The question I guess I would have is, would this be considered that the addition of this provision of the Count Guard program would further the commission's implementation of the ban, would you consider that a necessary condition for reaching the conclusion that we reach here, or do you just consider this to be contextual information that provides background as to why Microsoft is offering these services in the first place?
Well, I think it provides context to why Microsoft is offering it and also provides context for why the commission is saying yes. I mean, this does not preclude the possibility that somebody else would come in, would develop another program that might not raise the foreign national issues, but might otherwise fit within commission precedents on providing services to a group of similarly situated clients that is not exclusive to political committees, providing services to people who are already paying them for services. You know, it doesn't take away from any of the precedents that we are citing here. Those still exist. This is, as they all are, a unique set of a unique request based on a unique set of facts and, you know, other requesters who wanted to do something similar or perhaps not so similar, you know, would be able to draw upon the precedents that are on the books. It doesn't in any way limit any of the precedents that are already on the books.
I mean, my only concern is I was just thinking through it and since we're kind of doing this on the fly, having to process some things as it were, up on the dais, always a dangerous thing. The only concern I have is I wouldn't want the inclusion to be read as meaning that the grounds that are listed above, listing the applicable advisory opinions and citing to the legitimate commercial interests that were set forth by Microsoft and its accounts, those weren't sufficient to carry the day. I think that those were sufficient to carry the day. I just don't want there to be confusion for those who are reading this down the line that had they not met this prong, they would have not been issued this opinion. That's my only concern. And I guess I would, like I said, I'm just kind of puzzling through this on the fly. I don't know if Mr. Barron has any thoughts about the language that's being proposed and if he has any concerns.
Well, I do think it's unclear as to whether it's a condition of approval here that it furthers the commission implementation as opposed to saying something because it's also consistent with, you know, people trying to comply with one of your laws. And then once you introduce something like this, as I tried to explain in answering Commissioner Walter, you're interjecting the appearance that something is possible because it implements compliance with one of your laws. You know, in this case, you're talking about the ban on foreign nationals. So if somebody comes to you and says, look, I've got a great idea. I want to do this and give it to free for all candidates. And by the way, this will help them comply with the ban on foreign contributions. Is that all they have to do? Is that the reason why you're approving this? Or is it, aren't you approving this because it happens to be consistent with a laudable goal? It's also consistent with something that is good public policy. But in terms of why is this not a contribution or an expenditure, I think the basis is the way that it's stated currently. Well, we concluded that this is something that you're doing for a group of customers in your business. They're customers who pay you for your products, and it's consistent with the way that you run your business. And on that basis, we don't think that there is a contribution or an expenditure. If you then tag on other conditions or features, you're both suggesting that there has to be additional conditions and also that you're opening up other avenues for people to say, well, we can do something because it's consistent, or what's the term here? It will further the commission's compliance goal. That's kind of the way I heard what's being proposed.
I think that for me, it's a helpful factor that we really have into the dialogue. I'm not saying it's exclusive, but sometimes when you kind of appear in a direction, I think the fact that it's consistent with our national laws and our current situation generally. You know, it makes sense that in the letter we say, although much attention has been given to Russian Internet Research Agency's attempts to sow discord through online propaganda by American voters, the hacking of online accounts and political operatives in our community must also not be overlooked. So I think a touch of that conversation is helpful in this community so that we don't run into the same problem that you see was in the other letter that was referring to about way out. You know, getting a request for things, you know, the way out there and don't kind of fit with our own policy.
And I think that's a valid concern. I think that the principle that is outlined in the draft in its conclusion is not unlimited. I think it's highly conditional. It recognizes that there are going to be situations where certain things are available to certain users or customers in certain ways that are consistent with other business practices. And isn't that what you're looking for? It doesn't create carte blanche. There's an awful lot of conditions here that don't basically open, in my view, a door for companies and other producers to provide freebies to candidates. You start from the proposition it's not a freebie. I mean, you got to be using our product. You know, just like when we give discounts to nonprofit organizations, perhaps the Campaign Legal Center, you know, it's really not a freebie. It's part of our business decisions, that's something that made sense when we try and market our products to large segments of the 60 million users of Office 365.
With Microsoft trying to offer the service for various commercial reasons beyond the promotional goal, most notably to protect the brand reputation, which could be at risk of severe long-term damage if accounts of election-sensitive customers are hacked and could contain valuable data about online security threats. So in this particular case, we're in the same boat in terms of wanting to support this. I don't know that given the kind of time we have, we want to try and refine for the future any more than we have to, except to point out that this is a accurate measure. It's worthy consideration to both sides.
What were you reading from? I'm sorry.
Draft A.
The draft?
What page?
Okay.
Page 7 at the top, 1 through 7.
Oh, okay. Well, if you were suggesting that the current language is sufficient, I agree. If you wanted to insert this the language that was proposed by Commissioner Weintraub, then I think you're introducing new issues, as I tried to articulate.
Well, I support Commissioner Weintraub's language. I don't think they're getting off base on that at all. I think it's aligned with the sense of the rest of that there.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I support the changes that you recommended up until that final one, which I'm still a little bit stuck on. And, you know, I understand the concern that you're getting at, and I understand the concern that that was brought up by CLC. But in an effort to try to, and I view their comment as trying to avoid an avenue for potential exploitation and abuse, but in doing so, by tucking it under the implementation of the foreign national prohibition, they may inadvertently be creating a new app, because could someone then, and this may be a little bit of a ridiculous example, but who knows where someone might take it. Could someone give $20,000 in cash, and, you know, I'd cut a $20,000 check to a committee and say, this is not for the purpose of influencing your election. This is for the purpose of helping you as a committee further the implementation or preventing a potential foreign nationals interfering with an election. And so do with it as you fit to see in which way you might be able to prevent hacking or any mischief that a foreign government or a foreign agent of any kind might seek to carry out. I admit that's a little bit of an extreme example, but what I'm just not sure exactly. Are we now saying that something of value given to a candidate or other political committee that is given for the purpose not of influencing the election, but for the purpose of furthering the ban at 52 U.S.C. 3121 is not a contribution? I'm still just kind of puzzling through what the implications of that are.
I hear what you're saying, and I hear what Mr. Barron is saying, and that's in part why I am not, in fact, adopting the proposal in the comment, which would have been to solely peg this to 30121. What I'm trying to do is to acknowledge that is the risk of foreign intervention is actually a very important part of both why you're offering this service and certainly why one of the reasons why I think it's very important that we try and give you a yes answer.
Yeah. Well, let me just add that, you know, these cybersecurity features which seek to detect foreign state intrusions. A foreign state intrusion into a website is not per se, or maybe ever itself, a contribution by a foreign state. I mean, there's got to be something else going on after the intrusion. I mean, if you're looking at hacked emails, you know, then the question becomes, all right, you have a foreigner who hacked emails, who has the emails, and then is going to provide them to somebody. All right, so that's way down the road from what we're talking about here, by the way.
I agree with that.
Now, it does, you know, hacking is illegal, right? But last time I checked, the commission doesn't enforce that particular law.
I agree with that, and the language that I suggested did not say, just said it would further the commission's implementation of 30121. It would not, I'm not saying that it is by definition, anything that a count guard would protect against would
automatically be a violation of 30121. I tried to keep the language a little bit softer, but that I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it quite goes there. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I share Commissioner Peterson's concern about trying to do edits on the fly, but we're trying to give you a rapid answer, and the comment came in just this morning when Commissioner Peterson and I were at the PLI conference that Mr. Barron invited us to participate in, so we didn't have a lot of time to review it. But I'm open to, having said all that, I'm open to amendments. I'd like to kind of get the concept in there.
Let me make it clear that, you know, Microsoft is delighted to do this program if you approve it. Now, with the basis for your approval is up to you. And you've asked some questions here about what are the consequences of inserting some of these conditions, which is a bigger issue than just for Microsoft. Whether you insert this language is not going to change any of the factual predicates for Account Guard. And Account Guard is in part being implemented because Microsoft is very much aware of foreign state interference with their entire election process. That's why they're doing many things in a program that's entitled Defending Democracy. We're dealing with journalists, we're dealing with election officials, we're dealing with campaigns, we're dealing with think tanks. We're monitoring false websites that have been created for organizations, as was publicly announced recently, like the Hudson Institute and the International Republican Institute. So hacking is a big deal, and this is all part of that. And as long as the commission would like to, we obviously encourage approval of this particular program. The conditions that you're proposing really would not affect the way we would operate Account Guard.
And they weren't intended to change your program in any way. Mr. Peterson?
Madam Vice Chair, I'm wondering if we might be able to take a brief recess. I've got some ideas in my head that I just want to reduce the paper, but I don't want to keep everybody suspended in awkward silence while I'm doing so. But I think I can do so quickly. And then,
I think that's an excellent suggestion. Okay. Well taken. So we will stand in recess, hopefully for not too long a time. Okay, I think we're back. Just want to confirm that we still have our quorum. Chair Hunter, are you still on the phone?
Yes, I'm still here.
Great. Thanks. We appreciate your patience, and I particularly apologize to you because I know it's particularly difficult to do these kinds of edits when you're not sitting here with us looking at the same pieces of paper that that we are. But I think we have a solution, and what it would involve is, in lieu of amending the accordingly sentence on page 7, line 8, the other changes that I said before would be included. We would make no changes to the accordingly sentence, but would add immediately after that sentence on page 7, line 12. Moreover, the commission notes that the provision of the Account Guard program would further the commission's implementation of the ban on foreign participation in elections at 52 USC section 30121. And I will just look around the room and see if anybody wants to comment on that in any way. And if not, perhaps we are ready for a motion, if anybody wants to dare try it. Commissioner Peterson?
I'd be happy to make that motion. I don't know if a requester would have any further comment, or you're just saying take the vote and let
and
us out of here.
The bottom line is yes, they'll be happy.
Vote.
Okay. Draft together and make sure that I've got all the relevant edits in place. So with respect to advisory opinion 2018-11 submitted by Microsoft, I move approval of draft A as set forth in agenda document number 18-41-A, except that the following changes
be reflected in that draft. On page 4, line 7, after the word including, that the phrase "but not limited to" be added, so that phrase would now say "including but not limited to federal candidates and national party committees." On page 7, line 8, after the word "customers," that we add the language "Microsoft has noted the particular importance of providing account guard at this time, given the public scrutiny regarding foreign attempts to influence U.S. elections." And finally, on page 7, line 12, after the word "contribution" and the period, insert the following sentence: "Moreover, comma, the Commission notes that the provision of the account guard program would further the Commission's implementation of the ban on foreign participation in elections at 52 U.S.C. section 3121, period."
I think that is a really beautiful motion. Thank you, Commissioner Peterson.
That'll be one for the museum.
Do we have any comments on the motion? And if not, I will call the question. All in favor, say aye.
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 Yay, the motion passes unanimously, which is in fact the only way a motion can pass around here these days. I thank the requester for their request and also for their patience with us. I